Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. We've talked a lot on this program about a disappearing brand of politician, the traditional Northeastern Republican, the fiscal conservative who leans left, or at least toward the moderate side on social issues. Well, we're going to begin today by remembering one who died this weekend, former Massachusetts Governor Paul Cellucci, who led the state from 1997 to 2001.
Cellucci passed away on Saturday at the age of 65 after a five-year battle with ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease. He spent three decades in politics, serving in the State House as Lieutenant Governor with William Weld, as Governor of the Commonwealth, and then as U.S. Ambassador to Canada. He never lost an election.
Paul Cellucci became a key figure among Massachusetts Republicans, able to work successfully across the aisle in a decidedly blue state. He pushed for lower taxes, but was also pro-abortion rights, and one of the country's toughest assault weapons ban was passed here, thanks to his prodding.
He also stayed true to his middle-class Massachusetts roots. Even as his political career soared, Cellucci lived in the small working-class town of Hudson. Here he is reflecting on his accomplishments as governor in an interview with WBUR last July.
I think the things I'm most proud of are, one, I think we pretty much put a stake through the old label of Taxachusetts. And I'm also pretty happy that despite all the controversy, you know, the Big Dig is an engineering marvel. It's transformed the city of Boston. It's improved the traffic flow. So those are, you know, when you look back, you feel good about those accomplishments that continue to help the people of Massachusetts.
Well, those that knew Paul Cellucci best praise him for his ability to bring people together. And joining us now are two people who witnessed that firsthand. Rob Gray was a chief political advisor to Mr. Cellucci, and he's with us in the studio. And Rob Gray, good to have you, and thanks for coming in.
Hi, Anthony.
Also joining us by phone is Stephen Crosby. He served in Paul Cellucci's cabinet as Secretary of Administration and Finance. He's now chairman of the Massachusetts Gaming Commission. Stephen Crosby, good to have you on Radio Boston. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Nice to be here. Thank you.
I want to talk to both of you about Paul Cellucci's brand of politics. But before we get there, let's talk about what kind of a person he was. Rob, let me start with you. How will you remember Paul Cellucci personally?
He was a guy who loved life, family, eating well, especially at Italian restaurants. He could sniff out the best Italian restaurant in any city in the world. Up to and including St. Louis, which isn't easy, or Tel Aviv. But he was a really decent guy who was very kind to those of us on the staff, asked about your family, asked how your day was, took you to lunch. That's the kind of guy he was. I wouldn't call him a self-involved guy. He saw it as a team effort.
Mm. Stephen Crosby, what about you?
Actually, I think Rob probably knew Governor Cellucci better than I did because he worked for him and with him a longer time. I would certainly agree with what Rob said, and I introduced him to my dad one time, and he was extraordinarily generous and genuine in wanting to talk to my dad. But the thing that struck me about him is that he seemed to have a kind of an inner core. He had a personal integrity about what he believed was right. And he had the confidence and the strength to do it. And he was comfortable in his skin. He was who he was. He believed what he was. He could be wildly passionate about so-called conservative issues, and he could be wildly passionate about so-called progressive issues. But somehow he had the inner strength to be true to himself, and that's a rare strength.
A rare strength indeed. Well, as we've mentioned, he forged a very close working relationship with Governor William Weld, who remembered him this way in a written statement. He was a person of rock-hard integrity, keen intelligence, considerable humor, abundant compassion, and deep devotion to family and country. That from former Governor William Weld. And it was his partnership with Governor Weld when he served as lieutenant governor that really helped break that sort of Democratic policy grip on Beacon Hill during those years. Rob Gray, I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that partnership with Weld and how they did that.
Well, first of all, it was unique and groundbreaking because in 1989, when Cellucci and Weld teamed up for the 1990 election, that had never been done before. Governors and lieutenant governors ran separately, and they got paired together after primaries. Weld and Cellucci actually sat down. They were both running for governor at the same time and made a deal where it would be the Weld-Cellucci administration, and Weld would top the ticket, and Cellucci would be number two. And in many respects, that is what led to their victory in the rebirth of socially liberal, fiscally conservative Republicanism in Massachusetts. They beat two conservatives in the Republican primaries, and then they went on to beat John Silber in the general election. Weld probably would not have won without Cellucci's Worcester County base, his Italian and his Catholic heritage, and what they contributed to that election.
And Stephen Crosby, you know, we mentioned how Paul Cellucci reminds us of a sort of a brand of New England Republican that we don't hear from that much anymore. He was a fiercely sort of anti-tax crusader, but he was also a moderate on social issues, pro-environment, pro-abortion rights, pro-gun control. And I was just chatting with Rob before he came on the air. He had a lot to do with women's rights as well, right?
Right.
And the whole issue around domestic abuse. And I wondered if you could talk about that issue.
Yeah, this is something that I think is little known and little appreciated, but is one of his strongest belief systems. I always wondered if there'd been some experience in his past that made him so passionate on this. If you'll indulge me, I have a letter that I wanted to read just a bit from a woman named Judith Lennett, who runs a domestic violence organization and who served with him on the Governor's Commission on Domestic Violence. Most governors send somebody else to chair the Commission on Domestic Violence and all the other things, but he did it himself. And if it's all right, I'm going to read this.
Sure, go ahead.
After he got sick, long after he'd been governor, she wrote to him and said, "I'm writing to express my appreciation for the extraordinary leadership you provided to the Governor's Commission on Domestic Violence." And she gives two examples, one about domestic violence on children and one of the impact of domestic violence on AFDC women. And then she says, "When the moment came to present the findings and recommendations of these projects to the commission, you set the stage by inviting everyone to listen with due regard for the expertise that had been relied on in the formation of the recommendations. As a result, our presentations were received in the precise spirit we hoped they would be, and most of the recommendations we made were adopted, and I like to think battered women and their children benefited from the work. On more than one occasion since those days, I have recalled the exceptionally positive experience I had in being a part of that commission. And reflecting on it with colleagues and friends, many of whom were also commission members, we all feel that your understanding of domestic violence and the ways in which the government might be a force for real protection and support for those struggling with domestic violence was exceptional. All of us are grateful to have had your leadership." You know, that's a very powerful statement about the role of government intervening by an otherwise sometimes conservative Republican trying to keep government to a minimum. But it shows the breadth and passion of this man.
Sure. And Rob Gray, any sort of insight into what inspired Paul Cellucci to take on this particular issue?
Well, I don't. It went back to his time in the state Senate. I don't know specifically what inspired it, but I think what Steve read, that the inner workings of government, not headline grabbing,
right,
were things that Paul Cellucci cared about. And that's unusual. He was not an anti-government guy. He believed in the role of government to help people. At the same time, he believed it should be limited in terms of spending and scope.
Right.
But Paul Cellucci did not see special commissions or going to the bunker at 5 a.m. to deal with a storm as an inconvenience. He saw it as a large part of the job. He didn't care only about the big speeches and big press conferences and ceremonial parts of the job. He believed that government had a role, and the governor specifically had a role in terms of managing government on a day-to-day basis.
Let me go back to this interview that we did with him, that he spoke to WBUR last July, and this was something that he said about the growing partisanship, particularly in Washington. Let's listen.
Particularly in Washington, it's just become too partisan. You know, the extremes are dominating both parties. So I don't think it's as big a problem in the states as it is in Washington. You know, I wish we had more Republicans. I think it's always good to have some balance.
So, Stephen Crosby, now there he is talking about that particular brand of partisanship in Washington. Does he represent a sort of disappearing brand of Republicanism in your view?
Well, you know, this starts to get partisan and personal, but from my standpoint, yes. I mean, the parties I always was active in Republican politics because I thought it was important that both parties have both sides of the spectrum, and the parties would fight out to the middle ground between the two of them and then would fight out to lead the nation. So, yeah, I think so. I think everybody would probably agree that the socially progressive, the pro-environmental, the pro-gay rights, women's rights, this whole range of things as a part of what conservatism once was all about, I think that has passed, and both parties have become infinitely more polarized.
Mm. And Rob Gray, I mean, it was Paul Cellucci sort of one of the last holders of that mantle, I guess.
I think so. It may return to that, but he certainly, when he ran in 1998 and I managed his campaign, we had many Democratic elected officials from state legislators to mayors endorsing his candidacy. He had unions endorsing his candidacy. We haven't really seen much of that that since. And when he looked at an issue or what to do, he didn't really start with the Republicans in terms of how to deal with it. He recognized that the Democrats controlled the legislature and that he felt that he could work with a Democrat on almost any issue. Mm. And I think when he went to Canada as ambassador, even though he was President Bush's ambassador to Canada, you saw him embrace both parties in Canada, liberals and conservatives, in terms of how he acquitted himself on a daily basis in doing that job. So it ran sort of throughout his politics from the very first election.
I do think, and I know Rob will agree with this in spades, that we would do him a disservice, however, not to remember his ferocious political skills. And I think of the debates that he had on the budget, on the tax cut, or in the gubernatorial races. I mean, he was a ferocious, aggressive, tough, hard-bitten debater. He believed passionately in his issues. I mean, when I became ANF secretary, I said, you know, what's the measure of success? He looked at me and said, Steve, it's simple. Don't let the budget grow more than 5% a year, period. I mean, he was a tough, tough man on his political principles and his politics.
I think that's right. He was very staunch. But at the same time, he could have that debate with somebody the night before, and then the next day when the lights were off, he wouldn't carry it over to the personal side. He'd be happy to go to lunch with that person. And, you know, that was part of the battle, part of the fight.
Well, let me end where we started, and that is on the personal side. He had this background where he was from a working class town, Hudson, and he had a strong Massachusetts accent. Rob, how did that sort of that background affect who he was and what he brought into the office?
Well, I think in particular it impacted the Weld-Cellucci administration and the way that they governed. You didn't just have the Ivy League in downtown Boston represented at the table, which was where Bill Weld came from. Paul Cellucci really spoke for the rest of the state. You know, those who lived outside of the 128 bubble, you know, who were ethnic or went to Catholic schools or didn't go to college, he stood up for them, whether it was, you know, Title V regulations where people are going to get hit with an $8,000 to $10,000 bill, and he said no, or his anti-tax positions. He was sort of the reality check for the administration on that.
Well, Rob Gray, president of Gray Media Group, he served as chief political advisor to former Governor Paul Cellucci. Thanks so much for coming in and recalling those days and Paul Cellucci.
Thank you. We'll miss him.
And Stephen Crosby, who chairs the Massachusetts Gaming Commission, served as Paul Cellucci's cabinet secretary of administration and finance. Stephen Crosby, many thanks to you.
Thank you very much. He's a great, great public servant.
Well, listeners, you can always send us your memories of Ambassador and former Governor Paul Cellucci. Do so at our website, radioboston.org. And stick with us, because coming up, we'll talk about the fact that not all college majors are created equally when it comes to the jobs that they lead to. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.